Yeah, Rex Bear is here. Rex Bear, everybody, is here. The legend. I don't know if you know who he is, if you watch Leak Project or not, but this is very full circle, Rex, because when I started, because we probably started around the same time, I was a big fan of yours. I still am, but you were like one of the very first people to actually kind of put me on. I think you put me on when I had like 20,000 subs or so.
And if we can jump back to some of these people, like McMahon, Vince McMahon, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
What is he like is he as intense?
Yes.
When you talk to him off the air as he is on the air, what are these people like? And let's get more into them, how they could be patsies and don't even realize it.
We've been fast friends for many years. Mm-hmm. You're somebody that I consider to be probably one of the smartest guys that I know in like any kind of archaeological or anything you think of, you know?
Checks in the mail.
Yeah, right? It's kind of like you're just an incredible, fascinating, smart wealth of knowledge. And when I saw that you were talking about Dionysius, when it, you know, in relation to the Olympics, I was like, this is a whole... You know, I didn't dig deep enough into the Olympics. So I want to welcome everybody to the show. Say hello, Rex.
Hello. Halo. Thank you for the opportunity. It's great to see you. I am so glad that you survived that opportunity. And I pray and I hope that you and your family heal better than before.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. You're talking about the car accident, which now has given me access to now digital feedback and stuff. Yeah. Now I got a concussion, too. I went to see a specialist and I really got upset because I couldn't spell orange backwards. You try it, right? Everybody try it at home. It's not that easy, but I couldn't do it. And then I couldn't count backwards with 7. It was very strange. And then he was like, close your eyes. And I was like stumbling over. And I just found out that the Dan got the concussion. It's all good though, because it's like it's all working together for the good. This is a new adventure we're on, and my goodness, what a great time to talk about important things. But when you're a little bit loopy, you get Rex Bear on the show.
When I get loopy, yeah, just have me on the show, and then we'll get crazy. I had a concussion a couple years ago, so I remember what it was like, and I did interviews for like the next month, and I was definitely not firing on all cylinders, let's put it that way. So
I just needed to have you on, you know, and I wanted to get this done while it was timely, because in the news right now, the Olympics are like everything. You know that there's a skateboarder who won a medal. He won the bronze, and the medal is already deteriorating. It's like it's already like this. If this Olympics wasn't the most symbolic, spiritually speaking, about just the repulsion of what man has become, it is one big occult thing after another. You know, people getting sick swimming in the scene. We say scene, but it's actually pronounced sin. The swimmers are literally getting sick, vomiting. Today, we found an Olympic swimmer dropped out because the Sin River is so polluted. I mean, what does that say, right? What is it saying today? It's like telling us something. But you have a whole other... I did a little bit of a show on this because I connected it to a video that I did. Good grief. It was like 22 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days before the event. I did a video where I was featuring Kali Yuga. And that everybody was like, who's this blue creature? And I said, oh my goodness, well, he's on the cover. As you see right there, he's on the cover of the thumbnail. And it was just incredible because the day that video was basically, you know, laying out how disgusting and perverse and just like repulsive mankind gets. They get lazy. They don't care about relationships. You know, religion means nothing. They go wherever they want. It just becomes a great picture of what today is. You know, the more power you have, the more spiritual you are. It's horrible. And then I hear that you're talking about how it's connected to Dionysius. And I said, I don't know as much about that, but it's like, it sounds like, you know, the Bacchanal, if you will, is kind of going down. So, you know, start to like just express that to me and tell me what you think.
Well, buckle up, Buttercup, because it's going to get bumpy. So I watched this, you know, I turn on the Olympics, I watched the opening ceremony, and I made it through about 2 minutes. And I was like, this is really bizarre. And I turned it off. And then I started thinking, what were they representing? What is this about? And then I started reading some of the tweets and some people saying, oh, you know, it's a mockery of the Last Supper.
Right. Right.
And at first I was like, oh, well, if that's what it is, then that's terrible. But the more research I did, I was like, but wait, this isn't mocking the Last Supper. This is actually an ancient Greece
ritual and ceremony, and it's connected to Dionysus, and they would get trashed and
right, wasted,
wild, just wasted in wild ceremonies and literally summon insanity. That's one of the parts of the
and
ritual.
Didn't they also go about and like riot and like loot and do terrible things to like women and men and just like
probably
all right. I mean, it's just like, and it's on display right now. It's just lead us down this path a little bit more of becoming insane, because that's something that I didn't even picture. But today everybody is insane. So would they just get like wasted on, would they just get like just completely drunk and wasted and just, you know, go into debauchery?
Midnight
or?
Debauchery.
Right.
The deviance, the.
Well, okay. So there's a lot of dark stuff associated with certain rituals. And there's also just a lot of idiocracy and, you know, think of heathens and just think of people that are just like all about pleasure and they don't care. What's that one TV series? I don't watch it, but there's a name for it on Showtime or
Kardashians.
Something. No, well, no, it's this one where they basically people like don't really care what they do in front of other people. They're just like, whatever. I don't remember the name
of it. Sounds like Love Island, the show that Danielle was trying to get me to watch, which I say, I cannot watch this show.
Well, this is actually like a sitcom type show, and I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it's just what I'm thinking of. So what really I see happen, this ritual, this thing that took place, this opening ceremony connected to Dionysus, is they were showing insanity. They were creating insanity. It's like this ritual of craziness, of breaking the chains, of doing the opposite of like literally just getting rid of all your ego and morals and values at a time and just letting it go. But there's also something connected to breaking out of the chains of traditional structure.
Okay.
So you can look at the
that pop. Show did it. That show did it. You want to talk about breaking the chains? It broke the internet is what it did.
It did. And you know what's wild is the amount of people. So it immediately created division, especially in the religious communities, right? And I can see why. Like I said, man, I'm not Christian, but I'm like agnostic, but I'm also Gnostic, but I don't really label myself as anything.
But listen, you're a person that believes that there is more. You know, I mean, you wouldn't be seeking and doing what you, but you know, the label's got to go as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You know, so don't worry about, you know, whether or not you're this or that. I mean, you understand pretty much. I mean, I've talked to you about this. You understand all, you know, the culture and the different faiths of the world. And you can kind of see that there's a symbolic representation. What I've been saying on the show is the fact that where I saw Kali Yuga, other people saw, you know, the Last Supper, all tied together. You saw Dionysus. Now here you have three different sects basically sharing a similar message, an end times message, if you will, where, you know, all bets are off. And it's kind of like, why wouldn't a great, you know, source, creator, architect, whatever you want to call it, my father, God, you know, that's the way I look at it. Like there's a great relationship through Christ. But why wouldn't that story be accessible? And why wouldn't, you know, because there's so many people that don't know, say, the New Testament or the Old. So God would have to reveal himself. The truth would have to be revealed through these different stories. So I do see more than just one story being laid out. And that's the Dionysius thing is like, tell me what's like the end result of it. Like, where does it lead to?
Well, it's first of all, it's older than the Last Supper. I mean, the ritual itself was around before Jesus walked the earth in flesh form. So it's interesting when you look at society today and you realize people use the term Antichrist or Satanic or Luciferian, but they don't even necessarily know what they got their own definition, which is cool. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but the actual literal definition of those words, like opposer or illuminated one. I mean, it's not somebody with horns and a tail.
Adversary. Yeah, your adversary.
It's whispering in somebody's ear saying, okay, do it, do it.
What's interesting that it's not like that, but we do get these thoughts, these negative thoughts that we kind of think are ours that make us think the worst. You know, are you going to let her talk to you that way? Are you going to let him, you know, do that to you?
Sure.
Right?
Sure. So, I mean, oh, yeah.
So there is some kind of spiritual battle going on, but you're right. It's like Definitely. The idea that it's something with pitchfork, even though they do carry the pitchfork, even though you got like, what's all these artists going on with their devil horns? They're showing you, but that's silly.
But there was a time when that wasn't evil too, bro. Like that's the thing. I know. Maybe what they're doing now, they're trying to represent it towards this darkness and towards evil. But there was a time if you had horns, you were revered as somebody of a higher stature.
Moses had horns. There's a statue of Moses with horns. Yeah. Well, the horn is in scripture is not something to be scared of. The horn is, you know, it's power. So you have these little horns that are on the beast, if you will, right? Or these little nations, these powers. You know, the horn is very, that's why we blow the shofar. It's a horn. I got a shofar that I blow. It was given to me. It was a gift. It's one of my favorite gifts. You know, Dionysus is something that is, I went on a cruise once, the carnival cruise. And it was like the whole theme of the cruise was Dionysus. And I didn't even realize it till I got in. And I understood it was like, and it was very, I felt like, and this is when I was in my 20s. And I was always, you know, a believer and someone that was seeking and wanted to serve God. So I felt like, I'm like, oh, I'm in the middle of this. And I brought Danielle on this cruise. And you want to know something? There, because I'm very outgoing. I won two awards. I won, first of all, I won the American Idol, because back then American Idol was like the thing. I won and I sang That's Life. And nice. I also won Mr. Enchantment of the Seas. Can you imagine? I'm on like this Dionysus boat in like debauchery everywhere. And they crowned me Mr. Enchantment. It was like just the silliest thing ever. Because there were all these young guys and they were doing all this like perverse stuff and were dancing and doing all this stuff. And everybody was judging. And I was like the old guy who was like overweight at the time.
You know? The sweet innocence.
Yeah. And I did like ballet and they, it was very interesting. I walked around the whole cruise with a thing to embarrass Danielle. It was great.
That's awesome, man. You know, I think sometimes if we just realize that, there's a purpose behind an agenda. So first of all, I'm thinking to myself, who in the world initiated this?
Right.
Like we decided, okay, this is what the ritual is going to be for the opening ceremony today, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Well, they say it's the artistic director, but there's no way that all came from him, you know?
I mean, exactly. They say that, but what's really the truth? Wouldn't it be cool if we could be like a fly on the wall and we could hear? Because we go back and look at the 92 ceremony and the 2012 ceremony, and those are weird, man.
Yeah.
Now, it's the progression of events that is strange. In the book of Revelation, it talks about a beast that rises from the sea. Here we see humanity at the sea and the jellyfish that look like viruses. Well, out of that births this black specter-looking evil thing that soon then attacks the humans, infecting them, if you will, if these be viruses, if they look like viruses. After the beast is released and it attacks the humans, well, what happens next in the sequence of events is what's even stranger. The beast goes away, and we find this very disturbing image, which really looks like the virus of the crown. All of those red spikes. But if you look closer, you'll see a bunch of people. A bunch of people. It's almost as if now the people are the virus themselves. I'm not saying that's the case.
'92 ceremony and the 2012 ceremony, and those are weird, man.
Yeah.
Sydney 2000 games were just as bizarre. Look at these jellyfish all over the place. That's how the whole thing started. A little girl falling asleep. It's always a little kid. There's the anglerfish that I was talking about in a recent video. This is from 2000. Then the little girl's chased by zombies, like a horde of zombies, which are just driving her to this kind of crazy looking demonic creature that's behind them to this witch doctor. The witch doctor who's surrounded by people who look like they're wearing masks. But don't worry, you'll be safe with me, says the witch doctor. And then at the end, the dragon and everybody comes together to worship the alien, which is quite weird. That's how it ends. And then everybody at the end is so happy, the whole world comes together. Look at that symbol on that guy's belly. That means extinction, by the way.
So when I saw the ceremony that took place recently, I think that they were, for whatever reason, whoever's behind this, they're opening up a world of insanity and confusion and chaos and debauchery.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, you look at the rise and fall with the way the world is. I see a bright future, bro. The future's so bright.
I do too. Can I tell you something? I have a belief that faith literally creates and that our words have great power and that, you know, the more we nurture a negative thought and we put it out there, even though it's not a reality, but for whatever reason, we're programmed to think this is, you know, this is going to be the next thing. Oh, we're going to be in this. And you hear all the top influencers giving us a nonstop diet of fear. You know, fear, insecurity, worry, doubt, it's coming down. You know, it's like the new thing now is the pox, the monkey pox. You know, I'm going to be doing a show on this. And it's funny because Doja Cat was dressed up and like had her head shaved and she was completely red. And she had all these little rubies all over her face. And I on the show, I said, oh, you look like Red Hulk. And I said, like in the Marvel movie, Red Hulk. And I said, so what are you saying? What are you saying? That in the future, we got to worry about the devil pox? Are the pox coming? Are we going to have to worry about the monkey pox next? And it was exactly like, I don't know, was it 80 weeks? We hear the thing. So it's kind of like, there's more. We have more. If we can open our eyes and look and not be scared, you know? It's interesting. Doja Cat, you know, she's looks like she's going to be in a new Marvel movie. I think she's going to play, I think the news is she's playing the She-Hulk, the Red She-Hulk, except for this one's got the pox. I'm just kidding. She's not in a Marvel movie. She did that on purpose. Yeah, believe it or not, she did it on purpose. She covered herself in rubies, like, I don't know, the Scarpielli fashion show, something. Schiaparelli Haute Couture show, fashion week in Paris. She's like, I know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to just shave my head bald. She was bald. I don't think she shaved her head bald, but she's bald. And then she's going to be red and she's going to be covered in rubies. If there was ever a picture of like the most carnal basic thing, that would be that. You know, Adam, ruddy, red. We've talked about red, talked about a lot of baldness on the show. Is Doja Cat saying something? Is that going to be like the devil pox, how they're going to call it? People going to turn red, come down because, you know, they're going to line up, be told we can't work unless we get what they tell us to get. Or you get the devil pox because we have more. We can open our eyes and look and not be scared, you know? How's I Pet Goat start, right? Fool me once, right? Shame on, fool me, right? And all of this stuff is, it's like playing out. Like speaking of Kali Yuga, the connection between, you know, that and their ceremony. You know, in I Pet Goat, there's the Kali Yuga, the dance goes down, right? The apple rolls over to Obama's feet. It opens up in a lotus, and Kamala means lotus. Obama was literally sitting in that school in the video, which people can see right now. And then not long after, he was actually in a school sitting in a chair next to the letter F under 666, you know, wearing a Santa hat. The two of them together, it's like, it's just, it's, there's something else going on. Like, what do you think? Do you think we're like in some kind of a, see, I don't have a problem with simulation theory. I don't. But if we were in a sim, because God, of course, Jesus said, this world is not mine. I'm not from this world, right? If this was my kingdom, I would fight like you fight. I would attack like you attack. I would do things different if this was my kingdom. This isn't my kingdom. I'm here to, you know, set people free from this place. So, is it too far-fetched to think that this is a simulation? Like God created a simulation, but it's not our home? The scriptures say that we're seated in heavenly places. Is it possible that really who we really are is more and we're kind of booted in? Maybe we have more of a say over what's happening. What is your, I mean, like, isn't everything that's going on in your life something you believed was possible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would say the seven laws of hermetics are pretty cool if you look into that, just because it's a basic outline of what we're seeing.
Can you briefly sum them up or just give us the laws?
The principle of mentalism, the all is mind, the universe is mental.
Okay. There was a scientist who just came out and said that the mind is a creation of consciousness, that the brain doesn't exist. Because, at first it was kind of like the consciousness is a creation of the brain, but the brain only exists because of the consciousness. So go on. That's what you're saying. And that came out in the news this week.
Well, I mean, Matrix. Simulation. But then you have to ask yourself, what's your definition of a simulation? And that can take up a whole podcast in and of itself. Right. But you've got the principle of mentalism, the principle of correspondence, the principle of vibration, the principle of polarity, the principle of rhythm, the principle of cause and effect, and the principle of gender. So all of that is within the universe. And when you hear the term as above, so below.
Right, right. Well, no, and that's the exact same. And that's the prayer, by the way. The prayer is as it is in the earth as it is in heaven, mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the prayer. That's the Lord's prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, the truth that's in the kingdom of heaven's within us, the higher, I call God, the higher, as it is in that realm, because the ways of God is heaven, let it be so here. So we got to bring in from our thoughts, we bring something that is infinite and infinite possibility, and we bring it and we project it into this realm, right. So that's why I don't want to project fear,
right on, man.
So I know that's what you do on the channel, because you understand the power of words.
Well, I mean, look, it's good to be prepared, not scared. If you have fear, you have to question that fear. Why are you scared? I mean, I fear things every day, so I'm not going to be the kind of guy that's like, oh man, I have no fear, because that would be a total lie. But like if you're running across the street, or let's say you walk across the street and you don't look, because when I was a little kid, I decided I was going to ride my bike across the street and I wasn't going to look out of the way. I'm serious. I'm like, let's see what happens if I don't look. I got hit by a car.
Oh my gosh.
And the lady was more freaked out than I was. I was okay. I got up. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. She's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And so she's like, can I help you? Can I do it? I'm like, nope. I just want to get the heck out of here. So I'm a little kid. I ride my bike. I get out of there. A few weeks later, maybe it's a few months later, my dad looks at my bike and he's like, what happened to your bike? Your front forks are bent. And I'm like, so fear, my point is, fear can be it can keep you alive. It can be one of those things to get you out of a bad situation. But if you let it overtake you, then that's a whole other story. Then obviously fear is what you need to fear. But when I said I'm not Christian, let me kind of clarify that. So I was raised Christian. I was raised Lutheran, baptized Lutheran, went to an awesome church. Parents raised me that way. Amazing experiences. Mm-hmm. But the more research I have done, and the more people that label themselves as that term based upon their beliefs and what they've been taught.
Yeah, I know religion's kind of pushed. I mean, it's because you know what it is? They take a term. I'm considered a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. But I understand today that it didn't matter that I used to baptize myself a million times. I don't go to a literal church. I don't believe what mainstream Christianity believes, because I know that the scriptures don't back that up. That religion has been used as a tool to hurt people, to control people. And reason why I'm here is not to push people away from, because, it's like my people always ask me, like, why do you preach from the Bible? Why do you teach from the Bible? When you understand that, Abraham didn't have a Bible, Isaac didn't have a Bible, Jacob didn't have a Bible, right? So you understand that it's more about relationship. Well, I said, I do it because I got to help people out. That's why I read all the other holy books too, because I want to use that story to help people, draw them out. That's what Moses means, to draw them out. So you don't have to, a person is judged by their heart. In scripture, it says very clearly, it says that, they're baptizing, but not in, but they're not one of us. And he's like, if you're not against us, you're for us. It's kind of like the same thing. If you're doing the same thing, who cares if you're of John or of this or of that? Denomination is division, and there's not supposed to be any division in Christ. And wouldn't it have been wonderful if there wasn't so many corrupt religious teachers. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people could just understand that there is a God, there's a creator, and he created us, and that we are, as Jesus said, he says, as I am, so are you in this world. That's very heavy. I'm the firstborn among many. So there's a connection, there's a relationship, and it's our story as well. You know, that's why I wouldn't know salvation if it wasn't for Jesus, because if I didn't know Jesus, I wouldn't know what Jesus finally understood. So now I take up the cross, and then I go to a place where I am also resurrected to be born again. So you don't ever have to do that, because I know you to be a man that knows that there is more. But who's to say what the more is? Is it going to be some guy from the Catholic Church? Is it going to be some guy who's now marrying, you know, 9-year-old girls away? That's the new law in one of these countries. Crazy, you know, crazy. It's no wonder people, you know, push the idea of a loving God away. So, but you don't do that. You've never done that.
I just don't know exactly what God is.
Right. So, and how do you find out? What do you do?
Ask.
Who do you ask? Are you going to ask me? You can ask me, but I'll tell you, you got to ask God. You got to do it on your own. Yep, that's what the t-shirt that I have. By the way, I want you all to get this, because this is it.
Buckle up, buttercup.
You got one more day. By next week, this shirt is gone. This was a specialty shirt by a nice guy, an Israelite. He watches the show. His name is Tyler, and he stepped out in faith. He has like a pajama company that he started. He really went on a limb here. So I always tell people, it's oliveandrocket.com. He doesn't sponsor me. But he designed this nice little graphic for me. So it was kind of a specialty thing, you know? So get it, everybody. Make sure you hit the like as well and subscribe.
Something's going on with Buckle Up, because, you know, I've been saying that the past few months, and I noticed you and others have been saying it.
I've been saying it forever. Yeah.
So there's Buckle Up. What does that mean? That means
to gird up your loins. That's why I used it. To gird up your loins. It's like to strengthen yourself. It's in the Bible. Ironically, the number of pages of my novel. Look at this plug, huh?
Best
novel ever.
Boom.
Look at this plug. Do you know that the number of pages in this is the exact number in Strong's to gird yourself, buckle up? I didn't do that on purpose. How kooky is that? Yeah, I've been telling everybody since, 2014 to buckle up, because I said that in the next, 10 years or so, it's going to get crazy. And here we are, just like you said. It's the Bacchanal going down at the Olympics. It's gotten crazy.
I love the name of that river, the Sin River.
Sin. Well, Sin, it's S-E-I-N-E.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay. But you called it Sin.
Yes. It's pronounced Sin. That's the way you pronounce it.
Overflowing with pollution. Okay, so let's go back to when they had the Olympics in Tokyo. People were freaked out about Fukushima. When they had the Olympics in Beijing, the athletes were freaked out about the pollution in Beijing. So it's nothing new. It's been going. Right. And let's go back. Let's really think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Who started the Olympics? Like, and what kind of rituals were they doing when it started?
Weird stuff, I'm sure. Probably weird. I think they used to do it in the nudie. I think their butts and their coolies and everything else were hanging out. And I don't think it was just when they're pole vaulting.
Why are they showing this stuff?
Why do I have to have this? I was going to say forced down my throat. My God, this is the family show. But why do I have to have this? I have a head injury, Rex.
I was going to say, just blame it on the head injury, bro. That's what I do every time I mess up. I'm like, well.
Why do they have to put it right in front? Oh, my God. Right in front of my face, Rex. Who wants that at the Olympics? They did. Okay. That's what they did.
And then you read the news articles. They're like, well, it was such a great performance. The only people that didn't think so were fundamentalists and far right wingers.
Yeah.
I'm like, Oh my gosh, I wonder who wrote this article.
Such division. So what we got to do is we got to love, we got to forgive, you know, and we got to just do better. Well, listen, man, I want to tell everybody where they can find you, because I don't pay for the long version. I'm trying to keep myself shorter. Where can everybody find you besides, of course,
the project on YouTube? I love you, bro. You're awesome.
Man, listen, my wife needs to get a new car, right? I penny pinch. I do. I have more than I need. And also, this is a good thing because it keeps me on point, you know, because who wants that? Because we could go on for hours, you and I, you know, and maybe when I, you know, I'm not so cheap, we will. But the links will be in the description. So everybody should subscribe. I mean, really. And he has such a great, diverse I mean, you have such a broad spectrum, and you've like, you're one of the legit, like, old school. You were the guy. You were the guy. I watched you, you know, all the people that have come to my channel are they know me because I first knew you, because you brought me on. And I remember I probably got like a couple of thousand subs when I went on that show back in the day, you know, you, KJ, we love you, man.
Same here, brother. Thank you. You're a good dude. I love what I do. I'm thankful to be here. Very grateful. You can check me out on Patreon and Leaf Project and also YouTube and Rumble and all the amazing social media platforms, because I'm everywhere.
Yeah. Are you on X too? You're on X,
oh, yeah.
Right? I have a feeling that's going to be the place. I really like sharing there. I'm at JacobIsrael71. What is your, what's yours on X?
Leak Project. It's Rec 42 or Leak Project. Yeah.
Okay, I'll find the link. Thank you so much for coming on, man. You know, it was such a great show until we started talking about.
Oh, it got even better then, man.
What's wrong with me?
For the bloopers.
You know, that, in the last show, I was talking about hair is walls. You know.
Oh yeah.
Checked out the hairy balls? Hairy balls. So weird.
That's going in the bloopers reel, bro.
This is definitely going in the bloopers. All right, I love you, dude. I'll talk to you soon, all right? Love all of you. Enjoy the trailer to my novel. Goodbye.
September 10th. Mars hangs closer to the Earth than it has in 6,000 years. Like the light that led men from the east to a child in a manger, it could well be a sign of good things to come. Thomas James shall be his name. The world will change because of him. In the small town of Bethel, in a time not unlike our own, a child with a great purpose is born. Years later, alienated by his peers and abused, Thomas suffers a devastating loss. When it appears he has nothing left to live for in the world, this is when his true calling begins. While trying to escape the sinister powers that be, a terrifying vision haunts him. Miraculous events seem to follow the peculiar young man as he struggles to come to terms with what he was born to do. The stage is set. The time is at hand. The truth will rise and a revolution will begin. The startling revelation of who Thomas James is, truly, will change the lives of those around him and set off a chain of events long ago foretold. There is more to this novel than one might think. Inside these pages hides a treasure just waiting to be discovered. So if you've ever wondered if there's more to life, or why it is we suffer, then this story will not only captivate you, it may just open your eyes to a truth that could set you free. Find out what is in us all that makes us heed the calling.